This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by 3010weightlossforlife.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
I don't want to get too in the weeds on this story, but I do think it's important. Jim Smith is a Linwood City Council member. He's actually going to be on the show at 5:30. He found himself accused of being racist and sexist, prompting a third-party investigation by a law firm, and they sustained the allegations, most of the accusations. This report is remarkably partisan. Like, it is shockingly ideological, and it is a hit job. This is a smear. And it kind of feels like, to me, they're not even trying to hide it. Like, it feels like they're going out of their way to say, oh, yeah, we're being hyper-partisan here. Now, I'm going to read to you, word for word, some of the accusations, because it's truly remarkable. Because when you tell me that someone's accused of being sexist or racist, I go to some of the obvious things, like using certain kinds of language, slurs, making assumptions about people in an offensive way. Like, there's a lot of things that we can all point to and say, okay, yeah, that is racist or sexist. You can also point to things that are like, well, borderline, maybe. It kind of depends on the context. Here's the first one. On May 9th, Leah Jensen and Douglas Rayford submitted written complaints alleging that Councilmember Jim Smith discriminated against them on the basis of race. Both are black. Jensen also alleged that Smith discriminated against her on the basis of sex. Here's one. Asked Jensen for information he was not entitled to and continued to press for the information after she declined to provide it. How is that racist or sexist? Seriously, in what world, assuming that is correct, and in this case he was basically asking for some info, I can't remember if it was information on an applicant or some data sheet, and apparently Jensen does not report to him, so it was inappropriate for her to even be asked. Let's just assume that that's the case. How is that racist or sexist? What does that have to do with race or sex? Is the argument that if it was a white male, he wouldn't have made that ask? How do you prove that?
I don't know. That's puzzling.
What is happening here? Another one. Attempted to direct Jensen's work. Okay. So asked her to do something. It's the same complaint. Obstructed the confirmation of Ara Rael, an LGBTQ plus woman of color, to the city's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, while simultaneously pushing for the confirmation of Michael Miller, a less qualified straight white male. Jensen's complaint characterizes this as institutionalized racism. So, really, you're upset that the person is white and male, and apparently also cisgendered and heterosexual, according to the report. That shows racism and sexism. Oh, okay. So, you should never question whether or not someone is qualified if they happen to be a woman as a member of the LGBTQ plus community. In this case, by the way, the reason why he was pushing back was that woman didn't live in the district, apparently. Didn't live in the city of Linwood. But that's sexist and racist. Oh, okay. Made unhelpful comments and disrupted diversity, equity, and inclusion commission meetings that Rayford and or Jensen attended or oversaw. Making unhelpful comments. Now, if the unhelpful comment was, I don't like black people or I don't like women. Okay, that's not what was said. So in other words, he said things you did not like. Oh, okay. Made dismissive comments about race and equity work to Rayford, including insinuations that his work is agenda driven. Kind of sounds like it is. Kind of sounds like these complaints are agenda driven. How is this racist or sexist? So he doesn't buy into the DE&I nonsense that the city is pushing? And that's exactly what it is, nonsense? So that makes him a racist. Okay. I'm not kidding. There's nothing in here that even comes close, in my view, to racism or sexism. And yet when you read the findings of this attorney who did the investigation, she basically says that because he does not buy into institutionalized racism or really just a progressive worldview on race, it means he's guilty because he's perceived as being racist as a result. Yeah, that's not how it works. And this guy is getting smeared. Jim Smith is getting smeared over this. There's not going to be any punishment. It's not like the council can do anything as a result, but he is up for re-election next year. And I imagine this is going to be used against him. It is disgusting. And I read the piece in the Everett Herald, which I don't think does a good job in calling out how nonsensical this entire process actually is. I think they do a decent job of explaining away some of the things, and you can, I guess, come up with your own conclusions, which is what I ended up doing by reading this report. But I'm sorry that anyone takes this seriously is an affront to just basic, reasonable, logical thinking. It is absurd. That said, I'm sure I'm going to be found guilty of racism and sexism for standing up for a old white guy, which, by the way, is what this appears to really be about, that they don't like the fact that he is old and white. And he is. He's both. I think he's in the 70s. That makes him old. He's a white dude, heterosexual, which apparently you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to be anymore. It's against the rules.
You're going to get sued.
My God. You better watch it in there because you're a white dude. You're going to get in trouble. This whole show now, before when Peyton was here, I had a diverse show. Now there are two white dudes, but I'm going to lean on being Jewish.
Yeah, I got nothing for you.
Can you come up with something, man? Just, we got to get into a protected class, so at least I get a little bit of protection.
I'll have something by tomorrow.
Thank you. I'll push the button.
What's trending? International.
NBC News said Dennis Rodman plans to visit Russia to try to get the release of Brittany Griner, the WNBA player who was sentenced to 9 years in prison on drug charges. Whether or not she's guilty, it doesn't really matter. If you believe her to be guilty, no reasonable, sane person would say 9 years for bringing cannabis oil. No one actually believes that this is a reasonable punishment. She was punished because of the war in Ukraine. Russia is looking to get after the United States some political payback, and this is what they're doing. It is actually pretty despicable what it is they're doing. What's worse is that we are doing very little, publicly at least, that or privately, that seems to be moving the needle on this in securing her coming out of jail and back to the United States. We offer up a trade, which is horrible in my view. The Merchant of Death, that's who we're going to release for Brittany Griner. We should be doing other things, everything possible to get her out. Short of putting out back on the streets the Merchant of Death. Now, Rodman told NBC News, I got permission to go to Russia to help that girl. I'm trying to go this week. Trying to go? You're either going or you're looking for flights. I will only fly first class, and all they had left was coach. So I'm not ready to go just yet. Now, according to a senior Biden administration official that they don't actually name, because he's speaking on the condition of anonymity, they believe that he's likely to hurt more than help. It's public information that the administration has made a significant offer to the Russians, and anything other than negotiating further through the established channel is likely to complicate and hinder release efforts, he says. Okay, maybe. Or maybe he's successful. And that's a huge black eye for this administration, that it took Dennis Rodman, the freak Dennis Rodman, with all due respect to freaks, he's a freak, that he was able to secure her release and not the Biden administration? That would be a huge black eye. Now, of course, they would try to take credit, right? They would try to take credit over this. But the fact of the matter is, this is a possibility that he ends up doing some significant, I don't know, would he secure her release completely? Maybe. Maybe he helps move the needle a little bit. Maybe. Maybe it gives the Russian administration under Vladimir Putin, maybe Vladimir Putin himself, because he saw him on The Apprentice and he's a big fan, maybe it would give him the opportunity to say, ha, 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 take that, Joe Biden. I'm giving all the credit to Dennis Rodman. I don't know. It's also possible he ends up in jail, and now we've got Brittany Griner and Dennis Rodman in jail, and that's not good at all for the Biden administration. Maybe we'll send them both.
Be a good prison basketball team.
Yeah, well, they couldn't be on the same team because that's cheating, but they would be the captains of their individual teams. And I like that you're going co-ed in this.
Yeah, those would be some scrappy games, I think.
Or is it co-ed? I don't see gender. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation, send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. The IRS continues to be aggressive, and that means they are increasing the number of officers in Washington state. We've heard all the news. Don't try to take on the IRS yourself. Don't try to take on 87,000 new agents yourself. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. He will help. N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Trumplandia?
This is happening right this moment. We just learned that President Trump and his legal team just filed a motion minutes ago, seeking an independent review of the records seized by the FBI during what they're calling an unprecedented and unnecessary raid of Mar-a-Lago. Happened earlier this month. There's been a lot of conversations about whether or not they went too far. We've got an update coming from Judge Bruce Reinhardt in just a moment. But the team is saying the decision to search his residence, quote, involved political calculations aimed at dismissing or diminishing the leading voice in the Republican Party, President Trump. Now, according to this motion just filed, and it was filed in the District Court of the Southern District of Florida, and so presumably that gives a little bit of an edge to the Trump team. Trump and his legal team are seeking an order to appoint a special master to review the records obtained during the search, blocks the further review of seized materials by the government until a special master is appointed, requires the Justice Department to provide a more detailed receipt for property, and requires the government to return any item seized that was not within the scope of the search warrant. This according to Fox News. Trump said that the motion is, quote, strongly asserting, end quote, his rights, quote, including under the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution, regarding the unnecessary, unwarranted, and un-American break-in by dozens of FBI agents and others of my home, Mar-a-Lago, in Palm Beach, Florida. Quote, they demanded that the security cameras be turned off, a request we rightfully denied. They prevented my attorneys from observing what was being taken in the raid, saying absolutely not. They took documents covered by attorney-client privilege and executive privilege, which is not allowed. They took my passports. They even brought a safe cracker and successfully broke into my personal safe, which revealed nothing. So now he says he's, quote, demanding that the Department of Justice, and he put justice in quotes, be instructed to immediately stop the review of documents illegally seized from my home. So this is a significant move by the Trump administration, or the Trump team, I should say. I always want to say administration because I wish he was still president. And this comes as earlier this morning, Judge Bruce Reinhardt officially said that you're going to have to do a little bit more DOJ than try to keep all of the affidavit information private because I'm not buying your argument. He officially said that in so many words in a filing that happened earlier this morning, saying that he rejected, quote, the government's argument that the present record justifies keeping the entire affidavit under seal. The government argues that even requiring it to redact portions of the affidavit that could not reveal agent identities or investigative sources and methods imposes an undue burden on its resources and sets a precedent that could be disruptive and burdensome in future cases. I do not need to reach the question of whether in some other case these concerns could justify denying public access. They very well might. Particularly given the intense public and historical interest in an unprecedented search of a former president's residence, the government has not yet shown that these administrative concerns are sufficient to justify sealing. So what does this mean? It means that by the deadline that was previously given, it's Thursday at noon, I believe, or 9 a.m. our time, the government, the DOJ, has to put out to the judge their version of a redacted affidavit that's not fully redacted, meaning redact what you need to or what you're proposing. I'll then look this over and decide as a judge whether or not you over-redacted. I suppose they could say you under-redacted, and then we're going to release it. Now, that is happening at the behest of a motion by the Trump team. So there's been some speculation, including by a guy named Hugo Lowell. He's a reporter over at The Guardian. He was on MSNBC today. He basically said, hey, this could actually hurt Team Trump.
It's quite possible, I think, you know, based on speaking to former U.S. attorneys, that the DOJ redacts a significant portion of the affidavit to do with sources and methods and investigative techniques that, you know, effectively outline a roadmap for the investigation, but leave unredacted discussion or potential discussion about the kinds of crimes they think might have been committed by Trump or people around him at Mar-a-Lago, by the very virtue of him holding on to those documents that he wasn't authorized to have. So I think if that comes out, that could be another blow for him. But we'll find out on Thursday whether the judge is inclined to release that.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. First of all, do you think there could be anything in here that the Trump team would deem potentially hurtful to their cause and them giving a thumbs up on? Why would they move forward with this if they thought there was anything in there that could hurt them? There very clearly isn't. Number two, it still has to be approved by the judge. The judge can look at this and say, yeah, there's no way you're redacting this. This is not germane to your investigation. The public has a right to know. You made the choice, And again, this is the judge calling it unprecedented. You made the choice to go ahead and search the private residence of a former president. You turned this into something that's way bigger than it needed to be. The judge can come out and say that. And if the judge comes out after the deadline and goes back to the DOJ and says, okay, you're going to have to unredact some of these redactions, you went too far, that's only going to further hurt the DOJ. In this entire story so far, I think Trump comes out as the victim, much to the dismay, I'm assuming, of pundits on MSNBC and CNN and over at the New York Times and the Biden administration. Trump legitimately comes off as the victim here. And this whole idea that, he took classified materials. What were the classified materials? Did they actually need to be classified? Did the president go through the process of declassifying them? Because the president can do that. How much of what was unconnected or disconnected to this investigation was taken? We know that the passports were taken. That was acknowledged. Why would you take the passports? How does this not show very clearly being overbroad in your interpretation of the search warrant or offering the search warrant? Which, by the way, he doesn't get a pass on this for agreeing to. Judge Reinhart agreed to it. And it kind of feels like he is claiming that, oh my gosh, this is unprecedented. Yeah, you knew it was going to be unprecedented. We got people like former Congressman Will Hurd. He was on CNN saying this.
Let's be honest. When I left Congress, If I would have went to the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, SCIF, The special compartmented, a location where you can store classified document, and took 15 boxes of classified information and brought it to my house in San Antonio, Texas, and had it in my personal office, guess what? I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you because I'd be in prison.
Really? You would be in prison? You really? First of all, you're not the president. You don't have the same access to these records nor the ability to declassify as the president does. Number two, would you really go to jail? Because Hillary Clinton did this and she got a pass, didn't she? I mean, the DOJ acknowledged that she broke the law, but they chose not to prosecute. They chose, by the way, not to go for an affidavit to a search warrant to go after the emails and the server in her home. They didn't do any of that. They didn't do that at all. They did it with Trump. Why is that? So I wish the president the best of luck in getting this third party, this neutral third party, to look at this. I think it is necessary. I think we need to know some additional details here. And I say this based on what we know so far. It's obviously possible that some information comes out that would be damaging to the president. I certainly concede that. I think that's a possibility. And all of us should concede that as a possibility. Just because we like his policies, just because he does in this moment appear to be a victim of a political calculation, doesn't mean that if we do find out that he did something not just against the law, but a serious crime, more serious than what Hillary Clinton did, more serious than one of her advisors did or an Obama official shoving classified documents down his pants to get them out. If we find something like that or worse, yeah, I think we should be honest about it and call it out. I'm just not going to prejudge him as guilty the way that folks on the left have. I'm not going to pretend that this doesn't stink of some sort of political move. Because that's what, again, based on all the information we have right now, it appears to be happening. It appears that's happening. So you got a report on this breaking news over at foxnews.com. If you want to check it out, obviously at the top of the hour, we'll have a Fox News update, maybe providing some additional details that have not yet been reported. All of this just broke within the last several moments. So we're still diving into some of the statements that were made and some of the legal documents that were filed by Team Trump. But it's certainly a good idea. And when he promised, the Trump administration or the Trump team promised last week that some major announcement was coming, a legal announcement, this is what he was referring to. And yes, it's major. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send a text right now. Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. Online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you care about most, the ones you actually live in. And we start in Bremerton, where their fast ferry system, for some reason, decided to put on tougher rules against people using e-scooters, or at least bringing e-scooters onto the ferry. They now have, in some cases, a complete ban. Kitsap Transit's Sanjay Bhatt spoke with our sister station, Cairo News Radio.
We will be limiting the size and number of electric scooters that we allow on our Bremerton Fast Ferry.
That means they're only allowing 5 electronic scooters on each sailing, and they can't be longer than 43 inches. No longer will that be allowed. Why?
Riders who were worried about tripping over these oversized scooters during the sailings where they were sticking out into the aisle.
Okay, so you can't just be like, hey, can you move the scooter a little bit? The reason why this matters is the whole idea of the fast ferry is for folks to live outside of the city we don't talk about, where it is more affordable, and this is a way to make Bremerton more attractive. This idea that you can just hop on the fast ferry that will take you across. You don't have to worry about it going slow because of all the cars. This is just for pedestrians. But understand that a lot of people don't work directly in downtown Seattle. And they need a quick way to get where it is they're going. And so they get these dumb scooters. Believe me, I think that they're stupid. But they get them to get it a little bit easier for them to be able to fully commute. There was a whole campaign to get people to move to Bremerton because they were making it easy for folks to get to work on time. And now you're coming out there and saying, well, some people are tripping over the scooters. Okay, well, then tell them to pay more attention. I don't know. You can't miss one of these scooters. They're huge. They're massive. And you've got staff on these ferries to say, hey, sir, can you just keep the ferry or keep the scooter out of the aisle? Why is this so difficult? Why make it more difficult for these people? It's unbelievable. That said, I hate ferries and they should all go under. I'm kidding. Twyna Nobles is the Democrat state senator from University Place. She is a Seattle-style progressive, which means on issues concerning race, she is insane. She focuses on race nonstop. And she sent a tweet that caught some people's attention, which was the intent. She said on Friday, for the record, since I've been elected in 2020, I am literally harassed by only white people every GD day. That's what it's like to be a state senator. And while their hate is disgusting, they don't represent the true beauty of our community. I'm here and joyful for y'all. This screamed to me as, number one, an attempt to further divide people by pretending racism is alive and well, as if the color of the person who is quote-unquote harassing you matters. Number two, this is her shopping for some sympathy. Again, we live in an environment that has created this victimhood culture, and Twyna Nobles leans into that. I'm a victim. Number three, can you tell me what harassed means in this context? Do you mean critical of your positions? I'm critical of your positions. That's why she blocked me on Twitter, and I have to use the KTTH account to read her dumb tweets. But people called this out and said, hey, can you back up any of these claims? What do you mean? And she hid those replies on her Twitter thread because you can hide certain replies you don't like. But Twitter still allows you to see them. You just have to go through an extra step, and it's very easy to miss. Some people said, this sounds like a racist comment. Do you feel that only white people have something to say about their government? Or only white people call you out? Why would you block that? Why would you block that? So we reached out, our colleagues reached out over at MyNorthwest.com to her office to see, hey, could you back up any of these claims? I'd like to know some of the context of the so-called harassment. To which her office first said, no, we can't. This is on her personal account and we don't have any comment. It might be on her personal account. She's doing it as a state senator. She's talking very specifically about being a state senator and being subject to the harassment. So a colleague wrote back and said, hey, just following up on this, did you ever report any of the harassment, if it got to the level of being illegal, to either police or the Capitol security, anything? We don't have any comment at this time. That means she's making it up, in my view. Now, just to be certain, I put in a public disclosure request, that thing that's very boring sounding, but gives us access to all of the materials that we might need to point out that someone is lying. So I put in that request. Don't know when I'll get the response back. But believe me, I'm not going to forget this story. I don't like people who go into race baiting because they think it's going to earn them some extra points as a politician. It's disgusting and it's divisive. I certainly believe that people have harassed her the same way I believe people harass other representatives or senators. Jim Walsh is a state rep. He's actually going to be on the show in the 5 o'clock hour. He's been subject to harassment, not exclusively by white people. Again, what does the race have to do? She wants you to take from this. The implication from this is that she's the victim of racism, that white people only complain and harass her. That's, of course, absurd. What does she define as harassment? Clearly, I think it's clear that she believed that I was harassing her because I called her out once based on her policies to the point where she blocked me on Twitter. Was that harassment? So you mean criticism is harassment? There's certainly legitimate harassment that should be called out, that should be reported if it oversteps a boundary, if it gets into the threatening realm. I've been the victim of that myself. So I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But this idea that it happens every day and it's only by white people, believe me, that is a very intentional framing from her. Meanwhile, over in Grant County, the sheriff's office says it might have prevented a mass shooting at the Gorge on Friday. I am not entirely sure I buy that argument just yet. What they did appears to be really good work, but I don't know if they prevented a mass shooting. Carol 7 TV says at around 9 o'clock on Friday night, this was during the Bass Canyon Electronic Dance Festival. That's where you were over the weekend.
I think it's Bass Canyon.
No, it's Bass.
Bass Canyon.
Yeah, it's Bass. It's a fisherman's electronic music. No, it's Bass Canyon. What? So it's just an EDM concert thingy?
That's my understanding, yes.
Is that when the kids take the ecstasy and they tweak?
Oh my God. Type of stuff.
Had about 25,000 people attending. I've never heard of this.
Neither have I.
I've never heard of this thing. 25,000. That means we're old. And have you're not even that old. What are you, 26?
27.
27.
Have you been to the Gorge?
No. Ugh. I don't like going to outdoor theaters in which it requires you to stay in an ugly motel nearby or camp out. I'm out.
Reasonable.
I'm not doing that. In any case, they say deputies were notified by citizens and security of a man in the parking lot inhaling something from a balloon and loading 2 9-millimeter pistols from the trunk of his car. Now, the inhaling from a balloon part makes sense to me if you're going to an EDM festival, if I'm being honest.
I love that detail.
Like, what was he inhaling? I'm assuming it was helium and he was just getting high off of that stuff, right? You can get high from that. So the gun part is a little concerning in that context, but a witness said the man hid one pistol in the rear of his waistband and the other in a holster. Now, I don't know if he had a concealed carry permit. The man from Ephrata asked concert goers what time the concert was ending and where people were going to be exiting. That's the red flag to me, the big red flag. The gun thing, not so much. I mean, we live in a state that allows for concealed carry. He could have been doing it for personal protection. I get that. The inhaling of a balloon probably would think twice about that if I just, well, I was going to say if I saw it in the city of Seattle, but actually I wouldn't think twice. If I was just hanging out in Gig Harbor and I saw some dude doing it, I'd be like, that's odd. But at an EDM concert, I don't find it that odd. It's the asking where people are exiting the concert. That's a little bizarre to me. That's a red flag in the context of everything else. And so obviously a witness was all like, well, that's weird. Reported it. Apparently others did as well. This guy ended up getting detained by security outside of the venue. He was disarmed of his loaded pistols. That's when the Grant County Sheriff's deputies arrived. They said they arrested him and booked him into the Grant County Jail. No one was injured. Here's Officer Kyle Foreman.
We have a history of concert shootings in the United States, and shootings can happen anywhere from a school to a shopping mall to a movie theater. Mm-hmm. We appreciate people who step forward and say, this just does not fit. We want to tell you so you can go investigate. Those were the steps that were taken last night by concert goers, and those were the steps that worked in preventing a possible mass shooting.
I have not seen a single update to this story since this happened on Friday. I agree with the officer and anyone who tells you that when you see something suspicious, you should report it. Rather safe than sorry. And I know that, oddly, if you get too suspicious in the wrong way, you'll be accused of racism or sexism or whatever. Ignore that garbage. If you legitimately think something is off, you should report it. And I'm glad that they did in this case. And maybe they did stop a mass shooting. Or it was just some stoned guy who was going to an EDM concert and he's just a weirdo. I don't know the answer to that. And I guarantee you, charges aren't going to stick unless he violated some Grant County law that I don't know about. What would you charge him with? Potentially going through with a mass shooting? You can't charge him with that. We're not. What were the minority report people? What was that called? The pre something. What are you giving me that look? The guys with the women with the bald head in the pool. They're all they had premonitions. They were precogs. That's what it is. It's not like, wait, have you not seen that movie? That's a great movie. Oh, that's a good movie. They're not precogs where they go, I can see into the future, and with certainty they're going to commit a crime. Like, you can't do that. So I don't know if any charge would stick here. But again, what are you supposed to do? I'm glad that the sheriff's got involved. I don't know. I suppose they can look into this guy if this gives them enough, or maybe he said something while in custody that could justify this from a legal perspective or from a charges perspective. I don't know. This one's a little odd to me. I'm kind of curious what you guys think. Send me a text, 1-800-465-8770, if you want to weigh in. What would you do in this situation? Again, there are red flags. There's no doubt, and I probably would have said something. But you can't. It's not like you're going to charge him for possibly maybe committing a mass shooting that didn't occur. 1-800-465-8770. Send me a text. Welcome back to the Jason Ranch Show. This Monday afternoon, Kettle Moraine School Board over in Wisconsin did something that a whole bunch of school districts here should follow. They decided to vote in favor of a policy that bans political material, whether it's flags or signs, from the classrooms. In this case, it went after pride flags and Black Lives Matter flags, but also We Back the Badge signs, something that I certainly support and would happily put up in my office. But they decided across the board to say, no, we're done with political messaging in the classes. It's divisive. I think, at least based on one student, says the majority of students don't want this in our classroom.
The fact is that the majority of students don't want or need this. So
I just said that.
The minority only encourages the envelope to be pushed further.
So she seems to believe, and the school board seems to believe, that the majority of the kids are taking that position. I don't know necessarily of the staff. Obviously, some staff members were putting this material up on their classroom doors and walls if this became a debate in the first place. This is a policy that, I love this part, it bans teachers from including their preferred pronouns in email signatures. I love that. Hey, Jason, guess what? I know you're a dude. You don't have to say he, him, his. I can't stand that. You know what anyone sees when they see Max in an email? That it's a dude. Now, if you were a woman who happened to have the name Max, or a woman who happened to have the name Jason, go ahead and put a little bit of a descriptor in there. That makes sense to me. That makes sense. The people who put a personal pronoun in their email, when it is very clear based on their name that the person is a man or a woman, they're doing that to make a political statement on gender identity. That's the only reason that they're doing it. That's the only reason. It's a virtue signal. I'm one of you. I'm woke. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Tom. I get it. You're a man. You know how I know? Because your name is Frank or Fred or Tom. But not everyone at the school holds the position that this is the right policy. Here's one.
Pride flags are not me taking a political stance. They are a statement saying I accept myself and others.
No, it's also a political stance. Kudos to you for accepting yourself. Awesome. I'm glad you have self-esteem. And you should feel supported. But it doesn't mean that a position isn't inherently political or has become political. And folks on the left decided to make the LGBTQ flag a political statement. They did that. They did it with BLM. And some teachers did it with the Blue Lives Matter flag. I don't think that's inherently political, but it became political because it was a way to push back against the anti-police voices that have taken over the political discourse in a lot of these cities. Thus, it became a political statement. That's the unfortunate reality. And under this rule, they're saying you can't do any of it, whether or not we agree. And we're treating every political position equally. Now, the ACLU of Wisconsin, of course, is outraged. And they did something that they often do, which is issue a statement. It was very, very pointed in its disgust of the policy. Didn't quite say they were going to sue, though. Why? Because they wouldn't be able to win this lawsuit. Because they know that based, they don't want you to remember this, but they know that this policy applies to political positions regardless of the ideology that they represent. So, for example, they write in this piece, it really looks like the targeted attacks at specific viewpoints like LGBT communities or welcome and safe spaces to students of color. Really? That's what you say in a statement when they acknowledge that it's also going against the We Back the Badge? Sign, really? You want us to ignore all of that? The statement by Christine Donahue, an attorney with the ACLU of Wisconsin, said, if you have a policy that says nothing political, does that mean you can't have a sign up that says support our troops or believe women or save the planet? By some people's definitions, all of those things are political. Okay, well, then they can't go up. I certainly believe that there's some subjectivity to this. I believe that. What's the context of it being put up? What's the purpose of it? Who created the sign? If it comes from Socialist Alternative and it says whatever it is in a non-political way, well, it still came from Socialist Alternative. It's a political statement. How about this? Focus on what it is you're supposed to do, which is teach kids facts and teach kids ways to think critically about issues. Teach them how to make coherent arguments. Teach them how to use proper grammar. Teach them how to spell correctly. How about you just focus on that? I don't need so much of the calculus stuff because honestly, none of them are going to use it in the real world. But I understand at least teach them basic math. I am so sick and tired of teachers who think that their classroom is supposed to be a reflection of their personal beliefs on anything. I don't need it. None of us need it. Now, is there context in which we can argue in support of a support our troops sign? Sure. Or do you have a school that has a huge population of kids with parents who are serving? And that truly is not about supporting one particular war, for example, that maybe is being debated publicly? I think that that would be appropriate and that would be okay. But to make the argument that, like, for example, the BLM flag is not inherently political, which is what was it? I think it was Marysville or Mukilteo. I can't remember. I did the story so long ago that the school board was saying, oh, no, BLM flag is not political. Of course it is. The people who chant BLM, who have those flags, take very specific political positions and are arguing for very specific policies. That makes it political. So kudos to this school district in a city or district. I've never heard Kettle Moraine. I don't know what that is. It's in Wisconsin. It sounds tiny. So kudos to them for actually stepping up and deciding, yeah, we're going to side with students and their well-being and just get rid of anything that potentially could be divisive. We're only going to teach CRT. I'm kidding. I made that part up. This sounds like a good school district to have your kids in. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. When you text the keyword rants to that number, I'll send you a link to my blog, as well as all my social media channels, RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, we celebrate the departure of Anthony Fauci, who is out of his job in December. Why is he leaving now? Don't ask questions. Let's just celebrate.